Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India.
Beautiful, and it's actually so perfect because Shailputri is also the embodiment of Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is nothing if not abundant and freely giving. If you look at all of nature, what does nature do? Nature gives and gives and gives. The trees provide us fruit, shade, water. The rivers give us water. Everything that grows keeps providing and providing and providing in abundance. Poverty. The horrendous evil of poverty, the scourge of poverty that is happening in our world today is not due to the fact that we don't actually have enough. It's that those who have choose in ways. They choose to eat, to shop, to live, to do business in ways that pull the resources out of the hands of others. And so on this day dedicated to Shailputri, the embodiment of Mother Nature, it is so important for us to remember. We are not put here any more deserving than another. We are here as embodiments of the divine on earth, all of us. There's a beautiful line in the Upanishads that says, Isha vasya midam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita ma grudha kasya swiddhanam. And what it means is, all of creation, the entire universe, is pervaded by the divine. Therefore, remember, nothing belongs to you. Everything is of the divine. Therefore, what you use with the awareness that it does not belong to you, belongs to God. And today, that which is happening in our world through poverty, through hunger, through disease, through so much that is a ramification of poverty, is happening because those of us who have the power to choose in ways of ignorance, choose in ways in which somehow we think we are more deserving, more worthy than others. We eat in ways, we shop in ways, we travel in ways, we do business in ways that pulls the resources from our sisters and brothers. In yoga, the eight limbs of yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, given to us by the sage Patanjali, begins with the foundation. We were speaking today about the Mooladhara Chakra, the foundation, the root. Well, the root of yoga are the yamas and the niyamas, yam and niyam, which reminds us how to live non-violently, truthfully, without stealing, without hoarding. This is the root of yoga. It is the root of dharmic living. And what that means is not just that we don't go out with a gun or a missile or a bomb and kill people. It means that in our lives, how we live, how we eat, how we shop, how we dress, animal agriculture, the raising of meat for food, the raising of animals for food, the cows, the pigs, the chickens who are raised to become hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken McNuggets, is not only the single greatest cause of climate change, but it is also one of the single greatest causes for hunger in the world. We actually produce enough food to feed 10 billion people. But about a billion people go to sleep hungry every night. Because the grain that we produce is fed not to hungry humans, but to the animals who will become hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken McNuggets on the plates of those who have the luxury to choose. Our urge for more, 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 cheaper, cheaper, cheaper is creating an economic situation where women and children are in sweatshops working for nothing because we want items on sale. We want more, 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 but cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. If we insisted on fair trade in our clothing, in our food items, we would create a ripple impact on businesses across the world that insist that workers are paid a fair wage, that insist that they have healthy working conditions. Let us, as we worship the mother, what is the divine feminine embodying? Sharing, giving, right? Women's bodies are what? They are the only place from which creation can happen. The divine. In Hinduism, we speak about a trinity of divine power. Lord Brahma, the creator. Lord Vishnu, the sustainer. Lord Shiva, the dissolver. Well, Lord Brahma, the creator, gave that power. Put that power in the bodies of women to create. So women, the feminine is seen as that power of creation. Well, as we worship the Divine Mother, that power of loving creation, let us find it within ourselves. Whether we're women or whether we're men, it doesn't matter. Gender identity, physical bodies, have nothing to do with our ability to embody, to manifest the power of the divine feminine. Let us embody that. Let us channel that. Let us find that creative power within ourselves, the nourisher, the nurturer, Mother Nature, the giver within ourselves, and make choices. Live in ways that allow all to live. No mother would feed only one of her children. Let us channel that power of the Divine Mother. And even if it means we have to go without a little bit, sacrifice a little bit, well, hey, that's what mothers do, right? Mothers sacrifice so much for their children. Let us channel that. And be prepared to sacrifice a little bit of choice. I like how that tastes. I want my shopping therapy. Just a little bit. Can we sacrifice a little bit? Can we live a little more simply so that others can simply live?
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
Yes. I think not enough itis is one of the most severe epidemics that we face today. Crippling. So many. In the world of prosperity. So I'm not talking about people who really don't have enough. I'm not talking about people who really there isn't enough food on their plate. There aren't enough pieces of wood or metal on their roof to keep the rain out. There aren't enough threads of wool to weave a sweater to keep them warm in the winter. There aren't enough drops of water for them to drink. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those of us raised in privilege. Anyone for whom, where the next meal is going to come from, a roof over your head, sweaters in the winter, access to medical care, education, all of that, where that's a given, where that's not a concern. We suffer, literally as an epidemic of not enoughness. There is a sense that pretty much every single person I know, especially every woman, almost, I know, suffers from, which is this sense of I'm not enough. And sometimes it's just this vague, amorphous, in general, I'm not enough. Sometimes it's something specific. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not successful enough. I'm not young enough. Or I'm not old enough. But that there is something about me that is deficient. And deficient in a way that it's not just about a skill. So it's not, I'm not good at math enough to go to medical school. But it's on a much deeper level that touches the core sense of who we are. That I, as a being, am not enough. And when you take it deeper, what you realize, even though we may use words like not smart enough or funny enough or pretty enough or good enough, when you go deeper, what you realize is We take that to mean I'm not worthy enough. And these become reasons why we self-sabotage, why we don't step up to the plate of our life, why we don't take the opportunities that the universe gives us to be incredible tools in the hands of the divine. Because we're trying to prove something to ourselves. And this is where, of course, no job is ever good enough. Because it's never about just enough food on the table, enough money in the bank. I need my job, my career, my title to make me feel inside like I am whole enough. Or I need my social media following to be large enough, engaged enough, that it makes me feel seen, recognized, appreciated. I need to be beautiful enough, thin enough, sexy enough, that enough people look at me, notice me, that women are jealous, that men are attracted, to make me feel worthy of occupying my place on planet Earth. I need to be powerful, rich, not just because I need money to put a roof over our heads, but because in the wealth, in the power, it makes me feel full and complete and whole and that I exist. And so we end up actually losing the opportunities that the world gives us to be beautiful tools in the hands of the divine, to actually experience joy and love and peace and meaning, because we're looking for something bigger and bigger. It has to be bigger. It has to be more. And this is especially true for women. We're indoctrinated more so today than ever before to believe that in order to be enough, we have to be everything. So we have to be in business, ideally for ourselves, the founder of our own company, or if not, at least the president or CEO of someone else's company. But we also have to have a family. We need to also be there to, you know, pick up our kids from school and have an organic vegetable garden and make green smoothies. We have to, of course, also be having a good spiritual practice, have a yoga practice, exercise. Of course, we have to exercise. And oh yeah, of course, we have to remember to sleep 8 hours a night. And of course, it's impossible. You can't actually do everything. There's only 24 hours in a day. But that myth that if we just try hard enough, if we embrace the truth of who we are, and this is really a very tragic mis-selling point that we're being given these days by a lot of people, that if we just embrace that, that somehow we will have the power in 24 hours to have a full-time job, to be fully present as a husband, a wife, a parent, a friend in our community, with a good exercise program, a good meditation program, to get our 8 hours of sleep in, to give back to the community, that somehow we will find in that same 24 hours the ability to do everything and not be stressed, of course. And I think it's a deep disservice because you can't. do everything. Of course, you can have a job and a family at the same time. Of course, you can be healthy. Of course, you can have bits of different things. But you cannot dedicate yourself simultaneously to everything at once. You cannot have everything be a priority in your life at once. We have to make choices. But that sense that women have these days, that somehow if anything is slipping through the cracks, I'm not enough, is rampant. It's epidemic. And of course, social media plays a huge role because on social media, what do we share? Only the curated part of who we are. That part that we manicure and manufacture to look like I've got it all. And then, of course, everyone sees it and says, well, if she can do it, why can't I? Then they're more depressed. Then we see other people's posts and we say, my God, she does it, why can't I? And on this day of mental health awareness, I really give a call out to all of my sisters out there. A call for honesty. A call to really be honest about the inability to do it all simultaneously. Sure, you can dedicate different phases of your life to different things, but that inability to actually successfully, peacefully, do everything. And the necessity of making choices. Because as long as we keep holding ourselves out as these models, false models, we stay sick and we keep others sick. And I give a call out also for us to absolutely refuse to buy into the media propaganda, the cultural propaganda, that really is just trying to sell us products. Those trying to convince us that, you know, in addition to having a full-time job at, you know, the head of a company and a full-time mother and a full-time gardener, that I have to also be a full-time expert green smoothie maker. Well, who's convincing me of that? The people who sell blenders. Or the people who sell green smoothie mixes. Right? They're selling us something. Remember that. Remember that everyone who's trying to convince you that you're not enough is someone who's trying to convince you that what they have is the missing key. You could have it all and be it all if you just had my app. If you just download my app, it's going to be the one. It's going to make you be able to do it all. Or if you just have my gardening tool, well then yeah, in addition to being a CEO and a stay-at-home mother and a doting wife and a best friend to so many, you can have a flourishing garden all by yourself. Just buy my 10-in-1 special gardening tool. So realize that everyone trying to convince you you're not enough is selling you something. Whether it's a diet, whether it's a car, whether it's a certificate, a program, a training program, a CD, a book, a vacation, whatever it is. You can be sure that anyone trying to convince you that there is something missing in your life is someone who's going to be making money, selling you what it is you're missing. And so I give a call out. Let us stop. Stop being slaves to the algorithm that determine what ad you see on your Facebook page or the algorithms that determine what ad comes up when you go to Google. Let us stop being slaves to the media and really recognize the fullness of who we are, even if we can't do it all, even if, God forbid, we have to make choices, even if, God forbid, sometimes something slips through the cracks. Nonetheless, we are enough. Nonetheless, we are divine. Nonetheless, we are whole and complete and beyond worthy of occupying our space on planet Earth. And we have so much to share back with that Earth. But when we're so busy trying to be enough ourselves, we forget that actually we are here to give. Not as yet another thing to check off at the end of the day, have I done my giving? But as a product of the nature of who we are. But only when we actually experience it and know it and feel it and live it. And so lastly, let us remove the stigma and the taboo around mental illness, around the depression, around the anxiety, around the addiction, recognizing that these are responses to situations that don't work for us. And that along with working internally to change all of that within ourselves, we need to also change how we are interacting with the world around us. Because we are very porous and permeable energetically to our environment, to our communities, to our worlds. And so as we heal and as we commit to health, it's not just me in a vacuum. It's me in a community healing together.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
So there's two pieces here. Let's take the part of watching the emotions first, and then we'll come back to I'm not the doer. Watching the ebb and flow of emotions is one of the most powerful spiritual practices. It's also a great emotional, psychological practice because emotions are waves. So the ebb and flow is a great term, like there's an ebb and a flow in the waves of the ocean. There's an ebb and a flow in our emotions, both that which we label good and that which we label bad. So joy ebbs and flows. Anger ebbs and flows. Satisfaction ebbs and flows. Dissatisfaction ebbs and flows. And there's a lot of practices, which I won't weave into this question, but we'll talk about another time, and we speak about it frequently, in terms of how to make those we label positive emotions, the joy, the satisfaction, how to make that last longer. And those that are the anger, the dissatisfaction, how to shorten the duration of that. But for now, all of what we're feeling, it comes in, it peaks, it dissipates. Or it comes in, it's coming in, and then something else happens and it goes out. So happiness is there, joy is there, satisfaction is there, and then something I wanted to happen didn't happen. Or something I didn't want to happen happened. And it takes that wave of joy and it pushes it out to sea. And it brings in instead a wave of anger and frustration, maybe despair, maybe vengeance, and that peaks, and then eventually that goes back out to sea. The dilemma comes when we try to hold on to the positive ones and push away the negative ones, because then we end up living on the surface of the waves. It's like we're surfers, you know, loving the downs but hating the ups. It's just the opposite of it. You know, we love the ups but hate the downs. But in either case, you're living on the surface of the ocean. You can only surf the waves right on the surface. And you can only surf when there's waves that are really really high, otherwise with the mazanayata. In the same way, the more attached we are to our emotions, the more we have to be living on the surface. And so every time that you say, oh yeah, I love this joy, I love this happiness, I love this satisfaction, this is great, I love this excitement, I love this success, I love this pleasure. Every time you say that, you've hooked yourself into a wave that's going up, which means that you're still hooked into it when something happens and it then goes down. And this is where in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks so beautifully about the yogi, the wise one, as one who is the same, that embodiment of equanimity in pleasure and pain. Not the lover of pleasure and the hater of pain, but one who is in a state of equanimity in both pleasure and pain, in both joy and sorrow, in both success and failure. So being able to watch the emotions is a great, great ability, step, practice, tool, because it pulls us out of the waves. If I'm sitting on the beach or sitting on a cliff watching the waves, I'm not getting tossed around by them. And so what meditation does, what spiritual practice does, is it takes us out of the ocean of being thrown around by the waves and gives us this ability to sit on the cliff watching the ocean. Now, some may say, but I love surfing the waves. Okay. There's no rule that you have to get out of the ocean. The only rule is that if you are hooked into the waves going up, you're going to be hooked into the waves going down. And unless you're a surfer and you love coming down, this is where the teaching is about getting out of the ocean. And getting out of it how? It's not about away from life. It's getting out of it simply with my awareness. When we speak about practices of mindfulness, of consciousness, of cultivating pure awareness, it's not about being away from the world, but it's about no longer being hooked into a particular wave that is going up and down, and rather simply infusing the entire ocean with my awareness. So yeah, I may be aware that there's a little wave over there, and maybe aware that there's a wave over here. Maybe aware that there's a coral reef over there. But I'm not identified with it. I'm not going up or down. My awareness just permeates it all. In terms of not being the doer, that isn't usually so much connected to this emotional state as it has to do with issues of ego and issues of karma. So the teaching of realizing you're not the doer is spoken about very beautifully by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna is talking about how can he engage in this battle? He's just going to accrue such bad karma. He's doing such a bad thing, even though it's for a good reason. He's killing people. It's violence. That also against family members. And that he's just going to leave it all and go meditate in a cave. And Bhagavan Krishna says, not so fast. By running away to the cave, you're still doing, you're still accruing karma. Not fulfilling your duties is just as much an action as fulfilling them. And every action, every karma, accrues karmic fruit. So of course Arjuna says, well, so then what to do? If everything I do is going to give me a karmic result, and if I have to keep coming back life after life to empty this karmic bank account, the plus and the minus, the negative and the positive, the sweet and the bitter. How do I break free? And this is where Lord Krishna says, by recognizing you are not the doer. Surrender unto me, surrender everything unto me. As long as you are identified with the doer, whether you are the philanthropist feeding the hungry, or you are the robber stealing from someone. In either case, as long as you're identified with the doer, you're accruing karma. And so even you may be doing great work, accruing sweet karmic fruit, accruing plus points in this cosmic karmic bank account. But nonetheless, you have to come back to enjoy them. And if your goal is not to come back, if your goal is to break this cycle of birth and death, that's when the answer is recognize you're not the doer. Recognize I, God, Krishna, I'm the doer. Surrender everything unto me, just become an instrument in my hands. Now it is not, by the way, an excuse to do wrong things and just say, I'm not the doer. It's not about an intellectual justification of Krishna made me do it. It's about a deep spiritual awareness that I'm just a tool in God's hands, an instrument. And oh Lord, use me. Use me as an instrument. And so in the case of the Bhagavad Gita, in the case of the war of the Mahabharata, standing on the battleground in Kurukshetra, the divine plan was to restore Dharma, to restore righteousness, to restore goodness to the people of that land. This war was just a medium to make that happen. Arjun, therefore, was just an instrument in the hands of the divine to bring back Dharma. And if he could just surrender that, and instead of thinking, I am the doer, I am the wielder of the bow, the shooter of the arrow, but just recognize, I'm just an instrument in Lord Krishna's hands. Krishna's my charioteer. He's driving my chariot, running my show. That's how we become free. And that's the context in which recognize you're not the doer tends to come up.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation.
The gunas, the natures of tamas, that which is sloth-like, that which is dark. Not dark in badness, but just dark compared to light. That which tends to be, with regard if it's food, and they're talking about tamasic, it's going to be that which is undigestible, even rancid or putrid. With people, it's much more qualities of the opposite of that which is light or that which is active. So it's going to be laziness. It's going to be cutting corners. It's going to be not holding up your end of the deal. It's going to be irresponsibility. It's going to be lying. It's going to be all of those kinds of things. But absolutely, we can change. To move from something that's tamasic to something that's sattvic. Sattvic is that which is balanced, light, of the nature of sattva, bringing goodness, bringing balance, bringing light. As a person, it's actually much easier. Food, it's much harder. You can't very easily take food that has a nature of tamas and give it the nature of being sattvic. But as a person, you can. This is where sadhana is so important. And by the way, the food plays an important role. That which we eat is that which we become. And so if you take in food that is tamasic, and you can go online, I don't want to take all the time now, but you can go online and see which foods are tamasic. It's meat, it's things that are rotten, things that are spoiled, things that, you know, there's a whole list, though, going through all of the different items that we eat of whether they are rajasic or sattvic or tamasic. Pull up a list. That's what Google is great for. If you feel that you've got tamasic qualities, first and easiest, simplest thing to do, cut tamasic food out of your diet. Shift to a sattvic diet. You know, many people in the Indian spiritual world know that, for example, in most ashrams or meditation centers, you won't find garlic and onions. And a lot of people from abroad ask me about this because they're actually really good for your health. All over the world, doctors are saying, eat onions, eat garlic. They're great for your health, good for your heart, good for your cholesterol, good for so much. The reason that in a lot of ashrams or meditation centers or spiritual retreats that we don't eat them is because it's said that garlic is rajasic. Garlic creates passion and excitement. And that onions are tamasic. That onions create lethargy. Now, this is on a very, very, very subtle energetic level. But it's enough that in ashrams and meditation centers and people who are doing a lot of sadhana, where you really notice subtle vibrational fluctuations, especially starting out on a path of sadhana, you need all the help you can get. And so this is where diets are kept very, very simple, very sattvic. Those of you who come here know the food is exquisite, but it's very simple. Because it's that which is easily digestible, that which is not going to create either passion or lethargy. So the first and easiest thing to do is go online, get yourself a list of the foods, cut out tamasic food. Second thing is, cut out tamasic ways of thinking. So instead of thinking about that which is thwarting you or stopping you, that which is surely never going to work, cut out those ways of thinking. Now, the immediate effect is to move into rajas. So if you say, to move from I can't do it to yeah, I can do it, I'm going to do it, well, that's shifted into rajas, which is more fire and passion. Sattvic tendencies are actually where we want to go. And so first change your food, then change your way of thinking. And as you change your way of thinking, it's much more that which is in equanimity, that which is in balance. So it's neither I hate it or gotta have it, gonna get it going. It's much more of a balance. Doesn't mean you can't be excited and joyful and blissful, but it's in a much more stable sort of way, rather than the ups and downs of great passion and waves that go up and waves that go down, which is more of the rajasic way. going up and down. The sattva's balance. So first in what you eat, what you think, find balance in how you live. Look at your ways of being. And every day, inculcate one new sattvic practice into your life. Whether it's what time you get up in the morning, whether it's the music you listen to, whether it's the news that you watch, whether it's the relationships that you have, whether it's how you spend your lunch break, whether it's how you spend your evening, just inculcate a new practice every day. It can be something very, very small. It can be simply that when I am walking to work, or walking from the parking lot into my office, instead of thinking I'm going to use that time to make those urgent phone calls I have to make, that I'm going to use that time and chant a mantra. That I'm just going to become aware of the way that my feet feel as they walk on the pavement or walk on the carpet or wherever I'm walking. But I'm just going to bring some awareness into it. Maybe instead of spending lunch standing in a line for 20 minutes to finally get to the front, get my sandwich, rush back, do my social media while I eat a sandwich. Maybe instead I'll plan in advance, bring something from home, and sit in the sunshine on a park bench instead. Very simple little things. See how you can bring practices that bring balance, that bring light, that bring peace into your life. And in the same way that darkness can't exist with light, the more sattvic tendencies you bring in, the more automatically the tamasic tendencies will go out. If we're sitting in a dark room, instead of figuring out, oh my God, what do we do about this darkness? We simply figure out, how do we find a light switch? How do we light a candle? How many candles can we light? So in the same way, just bring in a new sattvic practice every day. Change something about your diet every day. Change something about your music. Change something about what you do. Slowly, 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 what time you sleep, what time you wake up. Slowly, slowly, slowly. And it'll happen. The nature of ourself is something very beautiful that we absolutely can change. And that's what our practices of mindfulness, of awareness, of consciousness, of conscious choosing, that's what they give us the possibility for.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.